Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Merry Christmas. Welcome to our service today. Thank you for this glorious Christmas day. Thank you for Jesus, our Savior, who came that day, that night, born in a manger, came as the perfect man. No sin in him. He lived his entire life without sinning so that he could be the spotless Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world when he willingly laid down his life and died on Calvary's cross, rose again on the third day, to give us that eternal life that you wanted us to have. You wanted us to be with you and to provide that way of salvation. And we praise you that we rejoice in our Savior today as we remember him, as we remember his birth in particular, and the reason why he came. We pray in this hour that he will be glorified, his name lifted high. Move and work in each of our hearts, we pray, as we remember him. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
From Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. Give us the context here. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time has come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. So you see, they had some problems back in those days as well. There in the book of Galatians especially, Paul mentions that. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, how we thank you and praise you this morning for this wonderful day, the day in which we remember the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, how we thank you and praise you that he came, that you sent him into this world, that we might be redeemed from all of our sins and made your children and have a home in heaven. Forgiveness of all of our sins. How wonderful it is to know that, and that Jesus paid it all for us, that we might have salvation, that we might be set free from anything that would hinder us in this way. And Lord, we just pray today that you'll bless each one who is here. Be with those who cannot be here for one reason or another. We ask you to watch over them and keep them in your care. We think of all the other churches that are having services today, and we pray your blessings upon all of your people. May we draw closer to you and love you and serve you in the way that we should. We do pray, our Father, today for our missionaries. We thank you for the work that they're doing in various places. And we pray especially today for Joe and Gail Owens and the work that they're doing in Argentina. We rejoice as we read about all of these other men who are pastoring churches and who have started these various works there in that country where there's such great need for the gospel. And we just pray, Father, that you would bless your word as it goes forth today from here and in all the other churches where the gospel is proclaimed. And we just thank you and praise you, Lord, for all that we have in Christ Jesus. Help us with the problems that we face each day. We thank you, Father, we still have freedom in this nation to to worship you in this way, and we pray that we'll continue. And we pray that you will lead and guide and help our governmental officials, that they will do the right thing. Lord, we just commit it all into your hands and pray that you'll lead each one of us and guide us by your Spirit, that we might honor you and serve you in the way that we should. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. All right, let's turn once again to Galatians chapter 4. You're looking at this. The coming of Christ into the world, of course, was the most important event to ever take place. To think about him coming and all that that involved, and his life, his crucifixion, and the resurrection from the dead. But the beginning of it all was at Bethlehem, wasn't it? When he came as an infant. God prepared everything beforehand. We read in the prophet Isaiah about the coming of the great king, the one who would be born of a virgin and provide salvation for all who would believe in him. One of the chief angels, Gabriel, was sent from heaven to announce his coming. He revealed to Daniel God's plan for this Messiah, this Savior who was coming, in Daniel chapter 9. I believe we read some of this before, but I'm going to look at it again. Daniel chapter 9, just for a moment, just to catch us up to date on what the angel said. In Daniel chapter 9, oh, I know where I've got it. I actually printed it out. Can you believe that? Here it is. Daniel chapter 9, 21. Because I have such a hard time finding it, you know, I put it in here. Okay. Chapter 9, verse 21. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, or sacrifice. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. Know therefore, and understand, that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Excuse me. So here we find, long before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the role that he would play in God's great drama was predetermined and planned in every detail. As we saw recently in another message, Gabriel was also sent to announce the birth of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, and then the conception and birth of the Lord Jesus himself. Matthew and Luke go into detail, telling how Jesus came into the world. This morning, we would like to take a look at Paul's Christmas story in Galatians chapter 4. First of all, let's read these verses again, chapter 4 and verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So, here we find, first of all, Christ came at the proper time. You know, the Jewish people had been waiting for the Messiah for many, many years, hundreds of years, actually. And they probably wondered, well, why doesn't he come? You know, just like today we wonder sometimes. The Lord has promised he's coming again, right? Well, why doesn't he come? You know, we wonder. And yet, it's not the time. It's at the fullness of the time. This word fullness, it's very important. It means at the very proper time, God already had it planned and arranged. This is when he's coming. And it all worked out according to the plan of God. The fullness of time was come. If it had been waiting and longing and looking for the Messiah. You remember over in the Gospel of Luke, it talks there about these people who were waiting for the coming of the Lord, for the consolation of Israel. There was Simeon, there was Anna, and others and the shepherd told people all about the one who had come. They've been waiting for him for all these years. The prophets, of course, had announced his birth. For example, in Isaiah 9, verse 6, says, unto us, a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The increase of his government and peace, there'll be no end. That covers the whole territory, doesn't it? It's like what we read over in Daniel. He goes through the whole thing. This is what's going to happen during this time. And here we see the child was born. And later on Calvary, the Son was given, wasn't he? He was given to take away our sins that we might be set free. He is the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, amen, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Wouldn't it be wonderful if that was reality today? We know Jesus is coming, and when he comes, there will be universal peace. But that's certainly not the case today. There's so much war and rumors of war, and Jesus said it would happen until the proper time, when he comes again. Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, tells us where he's going to be born. He says, thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth, who will be a ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, even from everlasting. And so Jesus, you know, he didn't come into being at Bethlehem, did he? He only took upon himself the form of a human being. He was born, but he was already living from eternity past. It's interesting here to see in Bethlehem, because we know that Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth, right? Galilee. And to get They had to go to Bethlehem in order to fulfill the scriptures that Micah mentioned and Isaiah speaking there about the one that would come. So they had to go 90 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem in order for him to be born in the proper place. And it took the emperor's decree that everyone had to return to their native city, their original place, in order to register for taxation purposes. You know, the government always has to have their part, don't they? And here we find the emperor having everybody take a census so that they would be able to pay their taxes and no one would get away with it. So anyway, we find here they went to Bethlehem. So Jesus came at precisely the time the Father had planned. You know, he had it all planned out. It says, God sent forth his Son. It didn't depend on anyone else. He himself made all of the necessary arrangements that his Son would be recognized when he came. And he sent forth his Son. Everything worked according to his plan. In John 16:28, Jesus said, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. He already was there from all eternity. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of truth. Right? So, and God worked it all out. And his physical birth was not, of course, the beginning of his existence. He had already lived with the Father in eternity before everything was made. And we read how that it says in the creation that the Father had the Son to do the creating. So Jesus is the creator of all that is. So he lived with the Father in eternity. Jesus prayed in John 17:5, and now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And he was going to return to the Father and back to his place at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Christ came at the right time, exactly as God had planned. There was no mistake or anything of that nature. He came at the proper time. He also had a peculiar birth. It says that he was born, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman. Just a woman and not a man, right? His birth was different than anyone else. Now let's read from Luke chapter 2. Read from Luke chapter 2, the traditional Christmas story, and see how Jesus came into the world. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. What a wonderful scene that is. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, it tells us. Luke 1:35, and the angel said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. This speaks of the virgin birth. Jesus had no earthly father, but was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He is truly both God and man, as Paul says in Colossians 2 and verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And again, in Philippians chapter 2, I want to read this portion, chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, speaking about the Lord Jesus. He says, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He was made under the law, the scripture tells us here. Notice it says, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Jesus lived under the law of Moses. He kept it completely. He never made a mistake. He never sinned. He never did anything wrong. He's the only one that's ever been in that particular situation, I believe. Jesus lived a perfect life, and he fulfilled the law completely. The Father said on several occasions about him, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Of course, his enemies accused him, didn't they? You remember? They accused him on numerous occasions of doing something wrong. He was breaking the law, but he was not breaking the law of God. Breaking the law of man, which was not right. And they added so many things to God's word, to his law, and made it almost impossible for people to live. Right? And he lived perfectly. And accused him, but they could not prove that he did anything wrong, because he didn't do anything wrong. Right? And even at his trial, you remember what the Roman governor, Pilate, said about him? What did he say? I find no fault in him. You see? And yet, what did they do with him? They crucified him. They put him on the cross. But in so doing, they made it possible. God made it possible. He's the one who put him on the cross. They thought they were doing it, just like they thought they were arranging the taxation and all. But it's God. God's the one who is working behind the scenes, both in the birth and in the death and in the resurrection. Because God brought him forth from the grave. So here we find that he was made under the law, but he kept the law perfectly and never did anything wrong. Christ came for a particular purpose. Verse 5. He came, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. There we have it. He came to redeem us from the curse of the law. Notice Galatians chapter 3 across the page, at least in my Bible. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through him. Jesus took the curse that we might have the blessing. You see? And what's he talking about here? He came to redeem us from the curse of the law. The law condemns. None of us keep the law perfectly, according to the Scriptures, except by the power of the Holy Spirit, He gives us victory in certain areas. But we still stumble, though. We still stumble. And yet, we are saved. We have eternal life. But not because we keep the law, or even attempt to keep the law, or do anything else. It's through what Jesus did for us. He's the one who saves us. He's the one who redeems us. It says that to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Some people think that everyone is a child of God, but that, in the strict sense of the word, that's not true. We are his creatures, but we're not his children until we come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus and receive him as our Savior, right? And here we are adopted into the family of God. And as we read here about the blessing of Abraham, do you remember that? Oh, back in Genesis, I want to look at that. Genesis 22 and verse 15. Genesis 22. 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, says the Lord, because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. The blessing. You know, it says in one place, I'll bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. The blessing of Abraham comes, it says, verse 14 of chapter 3, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Not only the Jews, the seed of Abraham, but also the Gentiles, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. You see? He's the answer. He's the one who brings the blessing that God gave to Abraham to us, that we might have salvation through him, and that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through him. So Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans in this world. I'm going to send you a comforter, someone to be with you, someone to help you, someone to guide you into all truth, the Holy Spirit of God. And for all of us who know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we have the Holy Spirit living within us to give us that guidance and leadership that we need, right? And we can look to the Lord and know that he will help us with all these things. So, as the angel said, unto you is born a Savior. Jesus was born to die. He was born to die on the cross to save us from our sins. It's important to remember this even at Christmas time. You know, this is what it's all about. We love Christmas and all that it holds, and thinking about the baby being born, something warm about that, isn't it? You know, it's babies. I know everyone loves the little babies, right? But this special baby came into the world in order to die on the cross to take away our sins. Now, what does he ask us to do? He asked us to put our faith and our trust in him and realize that it's only through him that we have eternal life. We can't do it. There's no work that we can ever do that would warrant or would guarantee us salvation. It comes through Jesus Christ. He says that. The blessing comes through Jesus Christ. Salvation comes through him. He is the one. It's important to remember that all the time. And keep that in our hearts and our minds. And tell others. This is the way. Through Jesus Christ. Jesus gave his life so that we might have eternal life. He died to redeem us from the curse of the law. The law condemns everyone. And I know the law was forgiven primarily to the Jewish people, but this is God's holy standard. And only Jesus has kept it completely. And we have to come to him. None of us are able to perfectly keep the law. But Jesus did. He kept it entirely. And then he died on our place. He took our sins upon himself and went to the cross that we might be adopted into the family of God. For God so loved the world, it says, that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So all we have to do is place our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. There is no one else. We can't find anyone else that would be qualified. There's no other way to have eternal life. It's only through faith in Christ. So thank God for the babe of Bethlehem, and for the Christ of Calvary. May we worship and adore him. He is worthy of all of our praise. And have a very Merry Christmas. God bless you. And I just pray that each and every one of us might enjoy our salvation and walk in righteousness before him. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, for all your goodness to us today. We ask you to bless each one of us and lead us by your Spirit. If there's anyone here, Lord, who has never come to put their faith in Christ, may they do that today. Lord, we know that that's the answer. And we just pray that each and every one of us might have the full assurance of our salvation and not have any doubts or fears. May your holy will be done, we pray, in Jesus' name.